You're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie and co-host Chief Todd LeDuc, episode 77.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Donnie, and I am telling you I'm excited that the Get Balanced Podcast has an official sponsor, and I want to tell you a little bit about them. And it is FirstNet, built with the AT&T. And what I want to tell you about them is probably part of it is that many of you already know this, but for first responders and frontline workers, communication, as we know, is not a luxury, but it's a lifesaver. And that's why FirstNet, built with AT&T, was created. Now, the FirstNet mission is to make communication faster, safer, and more collaborative for first responders and other public safety personnel. FirstNet helps first responders and frontline workers connect when they are on and off duty. They get access to priority and preemption capabilities. This means they connect to the network first. In emergency situations, first responders move to the front of the line to access critical bandwidth they need to send and receive, whether it's voice, data, video, images, and text. Now, during an emergency, FirstNet is a critical connection between first responders to technology and also to each other, giving them access to information quickly and when every second counts. With FirstNet, first responders and frontline workers get a highly secure, reliable network with 24/7, 365 customer care and monitoring. Now, to get more information about FirstNet, go visit your local AT&T store or visit FirstNet.com. Now, let me go in and introduce our guest for this week. Hey, you're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie and my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc. And we have two guests on today. And Todd, let me turn it over to you and introduce our guests, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Donnie. Great to be back. I've lost count of how many episodes we're up to now. They keep rolling out every week. And
well, when you have me record 10 a week, they add up quite a bit.
I keep waking up in the middle of the night having these nightmares that we're going to have a week without a guest. So I always like to plan. We're thrilled to be back with another episode. And I'm really honored to have two special guests on today that are doing some innovative work in the fire service and in the area of health and wellness. And I want to introduce Blake Richardson and Chief Mike Long as both friends and guests of the podcast. And I think this is, for me, it's kind of, I think, role reversal. If I'm not mistaken, Blake, I had the honor of coming on your podcast and spending a little time with you talking about what I'm up to in my work. So I'm thrilled to be able to reciprocate. Maybe for our listeners, and I keep getting told we have a large audience. Donnie's telling me we've got people all around the globe checking in, and that's exciting. So for our audience that may not know you well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your journey and where that's taken you today? And then we'll ask Chief Long to do the same.
Thank you, Chief LeDuc. It's an honor to be on your show. And Dr. Donnie, I appreciate you having us. And it's exciting for me to first interview you as one of EaseAlert's featured firefighters and then to be on the other side of the table now. So my name is Blake Richardson, and I'm a co-founder of EaseAlert. And EaseAlert is a stress-reducing firefighter alerting system. We use a tactile alert on a personal alert wearable device for firefighters to reduce that startle response that firefighters suffer when they're alerted by traditional audible alarms. And we are honored and fortunate to have Chief Mike Long as one of our advisors. So Chief Long, you can take it from here.
Mike Long, retired assistant chief, most recently Monticello Volunteer Fire Department. Started my firefighting career at age 16 in Pennsylvania, fighting forest fires. And at 18, joined the fire department there. So I've seen a lot of change in the fire service over my years. And finally, at age 64, I could no longer pass my self-set physical fitness test and decided it was time to retire.
Well, both Blake and Chief Long, great overview of your service and your commitment to firefighting and the fire service. Chief Long, thanks for your long service, and we certainly appreciate it and understand it's always difficult when it's time to pass the baton sometimes, but knowing that we've got a great future generation coming up behind and continuing that legacy of service. So thank you. I wanted to, Blake, you touched on Ease Alert, and you did, I don't even know if I'd call it the Reader's Digest version, I might ask you to maybe do a little bit deeper dive. I for one, and I know probably the chief feels the same way, can harken back to my days, being on shift, which was some time ago as well. They call it the magic of 3 a.m. I don't know. I think Jim Page coined that title. I don't know what's so magical about 3 a.m. In the morning. But, what I recollect is, the sense of finally getting to take a little respite and lay your head down at the station. And then having that alarm come in and how stressful that is. And we know, at the time you just kind of intuitively plowed through it. But now that I've been on the, IFC Safety, Health and Survival Board for close to two decades, you look at all the research that's out there, that takes a toll. We don't talk about sleep enough in the fire service. So I know at LifeScan, we actually screen for sleep health as part of your physical. We use a scale that is empirically based to tell us where we need to intervene. But talk a little bit about what got you started, a little bit deeper dive on the service itself and the technology, and what the implications you believe are going to be for firefighters.
Yeah, of course. So I'll start from the beginning with where it all started. And that was from my dad. He's a captain paramedic in a medium-sized fire department north of Jacksonville, Florida. And I would see him coming home from work pretty beat down every time he came off a shift. And so I was trying to think of ways we could make his job a little bit less stressful. And that's where the initial idea for Ease Alert came to be. And we can't change the nature of firefighting. It's a very stressful career. But what we can do is change the way that firefighters are alerted. And so I started doing some digging myself and my co-founder now. We found that the science behind the alert is actually just as bad as the what you might imagine. So firefighters are actually up to 14.1 times more likely to die of a heart attack during alarm response. And that's the one nugget that we really said, wow, that's pretty important. We need to take a deeper dive into this. And that includes, responding to emergency incidents as well as false alarms. But it's because the auditory alert triggers your amygdala. And your amygdala is the center of fight or flight in your brain. So you're automatically in a ramped up sense of adrenaline rush, got to get to the emergency, got to do my job, got to save someone's life. And so if we can mitigate that fight or flight response from the very beginning, our goal is to reduce stress and overall reduce the occurrence of heart attacks in the fire service. As we know, that's one of the leading causes of death. And in fact, it's been the leading cause of line of duty death for several decades in the fire service. So that's what we're aiming at, trying to mitigate. And, The way we're going to do that is by giving each firefighter a wearable device called the Ease Alert Band. And that receives a tactile alert, just a soft vibration, anytime that they're dispatched to a call. So we can either precede the audible alerts so they can still have that tone if they prefer. Or an idea that we're considering right now is having a quote unquote silent alerting system where it's just a vibration on their wrist. And then they get the narrative from the dispatcher. And all that, all those are working towards reducing the negative impact of the audible alert on the firefighter's health and their heart and their stress levels overall, but, and their sleep too, like you mentioned.
Boy, I feel like I'm back in paramedic school days with the amygdala and the fight and flight reflex, but you're absolutely spot on. I mean, we know, I mean, there's certain things we can't control, right? I mean, when you go and fight the beast, as we call it sometimes, you know, there's just the fight or flight reflex. It's inherently hardwired into us. But the things that are controllable, and certainly, you know, alerting is one of them, you know, being able to mitigate. And we talk about all the time, you know, mitigating. Inherently, firefighting is a dangerous profession. We're only able to mitigate a certain amount of that risk. But this, I think, is just one area that it's a no-brainer, that it's something that we can mitigate. We don't have to do it the way we've always done it. And certainly when we look at the health implications, I mean, you're hitting on cardiovascular, but we know, I mean, sleep apnea, we know the prevalence of hypertension in firefighters is huge. And a lot of that is related to exactly what you touched on, that fight or flight catecholamine dump. And then not to mention Donnie's well, right? You come home and you've had that catecholamine running, you know, full steam. And then it's real hard to flip gears and shut the switch off when you come home to your family the next day. So, Chief, you know, you mentioned retiring in your early 60s. And I'm curious, just from your perspective, the changes that you've seen, particularly in this area over the years in the fire service, you know, where we've been, where we're at, and where you think, you know, the future takes us.
Well, you know, we've averaged somewhere around 100 to 125 firefighter deaths a year since I've been watching it. And that number fluctuates a little bit. But we've done a lot with equipment. We've done a lot with tactics. We've done a lot with command and control. And we were starting to bring numbers down. Well, then we added line of duty deaths to include appropriately heart attacks and other health-related issues. And we haven't really accomplished what I think we could accomplish. And that's why I got interested when Blake and Alizar came to me. And so I think that firefighter fitness is a problem in this country. I look at firefighters all over and I see firefighters who do not keep themselves fit. And I see chiefs who do not keep themselves fit as an example. Stress related. For the last 27 years, I've been with a small volunteer fire department. And we've got an ISO rating of 3. So that means that we sleep with a pager or a radio on us at all times. And that paging alert comes off. My pants are right by the bed and it blasts through and my wife jumps up. And I did not balance my family and work life very well over my entire career. And I didn't realize how bad and how much stress that was until I did retire. And then it was just like, wow, what have you been doing all this time? So the switch doesn't turn off. Life scan, big believer in life scan. Seen it at a lot of conferences. It's a start, but it there's a lot of firefighters who have this image that I don't need to do that stuff. I have a fear that with as much of the medical stuff that goes on with firefighters now, and as the reduction in the amount of fires, they don't see the need to be as physically fit as we used to have to be. It's work, it's stress. It's a lot of stress being in a medical side of it. I mean, it's constant. And, but I'm not seeing firefighters embrace the, I've got to do something for my personal health. There are a few, but not a lot.
Well, that's certainly, you know, I think a call to arms, right? I know we're all trying to move the ball downfield. We had, I don't think we've released it yet, but we had Chief Bruce Varner, who started in, you know, the mid to late 1960s with Alan Brunicini out in Phoenix. And he's looked at his period of service and said he thought we maybe were 75% of the way there. But, you know, one thing we know, the demands, the rigors of what we do is not getting easier. You know, we've heard the term tactical athlete, you know, and that's where we're comparing the strenuous work that firefighters have to do to professional athletes. You know, Dr. Donnie was talking about collegiate football this weekend kicking off. And think about it. If we had to put our firefighters out, you know, on the field for, you know, a quarter, for a second quarter, how many could keep up that level? And that's really what we have to do. I think on one of our episodes coming up, Dr. Donnie mentioned about catching a job while he was out in Arizona, and actually, you know, the sweltering high hot heat intensity and these crews having to go to work, and, you know, just made the comment that I just don't know how you can do this job if you're not, you know, in tip top physical shape. So certainly it's not a nicety in our profession. It's a matter of potentially life and death. When we look back at, you know, I know the line of duty fatality NIOSH reports, you know, they report 63%. Think about that. 63% of all cardiac fatalities in firefighters are obese. And, you know, what we do at LifeScan, we not only deal with obesity, but we look at that enlargement of the left ventricle, because when you get obese, so does your heart, and then it doesn't pump as effectively. And those are things that we can screen for and coach and reverse. But I want to ask Blake, you know, I would think one of the other advantages is to be able to isolate too, right? I know, you know, when we're in, especially in multi-company houses, where maybe the rescue's got to go out on a call at 2, or the battalion chief is responding, but the rest of the folks don't need to be disturbed. I would assume, because you're at the individual level, right? You're able to pinpoint who needs to be alerted for the incident at hand. So it's very precise, it seems.
Yes, sir. So that's what we're working towards. Each step is a new iteration and a new generation of our product. And that's what we've gotten the feedback for. Hey, we want to have unit specific alerts. And so that's something we're currently developing. As it stands, we alert the entire station. So our system right now is best suited for stations with you know, one unit that, or units that respond to all calls. But the unit specific alerting is not far off in our product development. And we're really excited about that, because that really does reduce the unnecessary wake-ups. And that's something you mentioned, sleep as something that you scan for with LifeScan. That's a huge, huge issue that we need to focus on in the fire service, because that is tied to everything. It's tied to cancer. It's tied to suicides. It's tied to heart attacks. It's tied to obesity. And something I didn't understand until really getting into the research behind this is 28% of firefighters, and that's a low number, suffer from obstructive sleep apnea. And that's that number may be even higher, but that OSA, obstructive sleep apnea, is really detrimental to firefighters' health. And it increases your risk of heart failure and stroke. And it also produces more of the hormone called ghrelin. And this is something I again didn't realize, but that encourages you to eat, and it causes you to be hungrier. So when you sleep less, you're hungrier, and that contributes to higher rates of obesity, which is a vicious cycle feeding back into obstructive sleep apnea, and just a lot of negative effects. And so by decreasing that amount of sleep deprivation that occurs in the firehouse, by giving unit specific alerts, that's something we're really excited for, that audible alerts just simply can't do, because you wake up everybody who can hear it. So that's one of our pretty exciting competitive advantages with this tactile alerting system that we're working towards in the future.
And you know, that's a great you know, point when you kind of threaded the needle through with regards to sleep. I was just having a conversation with Billy Goldfeder by text, a good friend and fellow board member, about, somewhat jokingly, but it's really not a joke, you know, firehouses being referred to as ICUs from the amount of people that are on CPAP and BiPAP machines in the bunk rooms. It was kind of said in jest, but the reality is it takes a toll on everything, as you mentioned: cancer, behavioral health, diabetes, cardiac risk, hypertension. And so I don't think we talk about sleep enough, and it's one of those prickly subjects, right? Because everyone gets a little touchy about shift schedules and work schedules, but there are a lot of things we can do to mitigate the effects on sleep. So I'm glad you touched on that. I want to ask you, I think Donnie has the same. I know I've gotten a group by First and Wellness, as Donnie showing his, First and Wellness got me turned on to this Oura ring. And now I know more about my sleep than I ever envisioned I would. I know how much REM I get, deep sleep, light sleep, tossing, turning. Do you envision, because I see, and I think we may have even touched on this when I was on your podcast, and certainly Chief Long to weigh in too. I see the future, one of the futuristic opportunities, and it may already be here, is biometric monitoring. Not only on the scene, so we can make informed decisions on the health status of our firefighters, but ongoing, right? I know that, if my ring tells me I didn't get a good restorative sleep, I'm at higher health risk. And there's things we can do to mitigate that. So I'm just curious where you're branching into the wearable technology for alerting. Do you see that expanding, evolving, and if so, what does that look like?
Certainly, when we're on the firefighter's wrist, there's a lot that can be done, and that's what we're excited about, is all the opportunities that are opening up for us. And we're in touch with some other companies who are doing a lot of that biometric tracking. That's not our main priority. Our main priority is enhancing the alerting process, reducing their stress, and improving their efficiency. But with that being said, we're definitely open to it, because we know that it's an important discussion, an important thing to look at. But we also know that it's hard sometimes for firefighters to accept that change. And by introducing more features and more options for them to be opposed to, that creates a little bit more friction. So we're definitely keeping that in mind, but knowing that it is very valuable and something that we can incorporate in the future. And that's what Chief Long has helped us understand from a firefighter's view: what should we do, what should we not do, and how can we really help the fire service as a whole the best.
Hey, Todd, if I could jump in there, is the Chief Long, you mentioned that when we're talking about the firefighter, you mentioned that you spent a good part of your career, you felt out of balance, as I believe your words were. And with that, what do you really mean by that? And what advice would you have for the younger firefighters out there today? And my son, Donnie, should be listening to this, and he's a young firefighter.
I think what I mean by out of balance is you firefighters have a certain temperament and mental capacity and desire, and it's very easy to put the job in front of the family. It's very easy to put the job in front of your own personal health, and so you tend to, I just store stuff in different places in my brain, in different compartments. But I found that I neglected my family in some cases. I was involved nationally in my firefighting role. So that takes away from your family a lot. And I was doing it before you had cell phones and all of this stuff that you could stay in touch. And yet I'd get a call and they'd say, can you leave in the morning? And I'd be gone for 10 or 14 days before I would come home. And you don't realize that what you've done to your family. And I think I hit it, and it hit me the most when my son decided to get into firefighting. And his comment to me was, I'm not going to be like you, Dad. When I'm off, I'm going to be off. I'm not going to bring my family home from vacations and go off to California or Oregon or someplace like that to help out, or whatever, I'm going to be off. And boy, that hit me right in the face like a ton of bricks. And I didn't, that kind of changed my balance in work-life adjustment. And then my last 27 years, I ended up in a very small town with a volunteer fire department. And my son was off in college. And then I realized that that page, that we actually carry radios, that radio and that sitting by the bed, that tone going off, walking out in right before we were sitting ready down for dinner with company and stuff, that really upset my work balance life. And I never could learn to turn it off. And that's what I'm, you've got to learn that. You didn't create the emergencies. When you're on duty of some sort, it's your time to do the best you can and be able to turn it off when you're not on duty. And volunteers don't get to turn it off. So,
yeah, that's some great advice. Thank you.
Had a wise mentor's chief of department who imparted on me that, you know, firefighting is what you do. It's not who you are. And I think a lot of us have trouble, you know, wrapping our head around that, particularly early in our careers. So thanks for sharing that. I know that sometimes those life lessons are hard to be candid about. But as Donnie said, I see, you know, future generations, you know, making those same mistakes behind. So it's as much as we can impart some wisdom that they can embrace. Hopefully, you know, that is only going to, you know, help people.
Yeah.
One of my things that I keep pushing Blake and Alizar with, and they came to me initially, and I was a naysayer at first, you know, and I give them all the negatives. I am their roadblock. And the reason I'm their roadblock is if they can figure ways around the things I throw in front of them, then they're going to be successful. But I keep telling them that the future for me and from a chief is not so much even in the fire service. But it's, what is this going to do with workers' comp? When we make it important to bring workers' comp down, and a lot of fire chiefs don't even track their workers' comp, but I do. It's a big thing to me is to, if I get a firefighter injured, it's costing me money, not from an insurance standpoint, workers, but it's also costing me money from a making up the shift, and it's also costing me money and don't downplay the impact of negativism of having an employee out because they had a heart attack to the other firefighters you have in your organization. So there's some administrative value to this if and when they get this thing going and they can track those numbers for the administrative side.
Yeah, and I'm likely to be thinking that is going to have a significant impact when all is said and done and those numbers are crunched. And I know at LifeScan, and we had the help of the RAND Corporation, you know, just looking at the cost benefit of finding whether it's a cancer, whether it's a sleep issue, whether it's hypertension early versus the cost to the healthcare system and to workman's comp if we find it late, is almost fourfold increase. So it makes a lot of sense. Not obviously, you know, the quality of health and quality of life is the most important issue, and survival, quite frankly. But we're all looking at cost and how do we show return on investment. So I want to be mindful of both your time. So I know we're just getting ready to wrap up with our session. I know we'll certainly look to have you back on, but I wanted, Blake, maybe if you could tell our listeners if you know, we kind of piqued their interest in learning more and they'd like to do a deeper dive and what would be the best way for our audience to learn more about EaseAlert and the work that you all are doing, yourself and Chief Long?
Yeah, thanks, Chief LeDuc. The best way would be to go to easealert.com. That's www.easealert.com. And that's got all of our information. And if you are interested, if you're a firefighter or fire chief interested in having EaseAlert at your department, we're offering a limited time early adopter trials to some of our first fire departments who are willing to take that first step and try us out. So we'll give you a free 45-day trial, and you just have to go on our website and click on Early Adopter. It's on the top, and then fill out a little bit of information so we can contact you. And we'll go from there as far as setting up, making sure the logistics work out with your IT department. And if you have any direct questions, please reach out to me, blake@easealert.com, B-L-A-K-E at E-A-S-E-A-L-E-R-T.com. And I'd be more than happy to talk or hop on a phone call. And I appreciate any and all feedback. And as Chief Long said, those roadblocks, they may be frustrating at the time, but they're what we need to hear. So we look forward to any constructive criticism that we can get. And I really appreciate what both of you are doing, Dr. Donnie and Chief LeDuc, and being preventative and proactive. And that's what EaseAlert is hoping to do as well. We're trying to prevent these heart attacks from occurring and making sure that we're not, post-mortem trying to help firefighters and looking at statistics, but trying to impact those statistics from the very beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And thanks for saying that, Blake. And as you know, we don't typically do episodes or product endorsements, but what you have and what you're working on in the vision and where you're going, that's exactly it, right? Is it's an investment in technology to make us safer, make us healthier and a more well-being fire service. So we appreciate your passion, your vision. Obviously it started with seeing your dad and his service and the toll it sometimes takes on us as individuals. It's not without a human toll. So for all of you that are listening, we just had some great information shared, an opportunity and how to find out more, and want to thank everyone for their service and protecting their communities. But as important as that is, we continue to bring these episodes because it's just as important to take care of yourself so you're able to continue that service. So thank you. Thanks to my co-host, Dr. Donnie, for another great session. And we look forward to having Blake and Chief Long back on and hearing how their work continues to benefit the fire service.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you both, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hey. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.